It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, alongside former Packer Brian Bulaga. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. The Packers make their draft. And I must be the only one saying it, but Brian Bulaga can comment on because he played with some great, outstanding cornerbacks at Iowa. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon. How are we doing?
We're doing fine. I mean, Goody's been the GM for how many years? So I assume he'll do about like he has done in the past. However, they violated a rule of Homer that I didn't know existed.
Would
never in the second round draft a cornerback who in college never had more than one interception in any of his seasons. Because I remember seeing, you know, you've had great cornerbacks. Never more than one.
I don't think
you can find one.
I guess my own, and this is in his defense, maybe no one to throw at him.
Come on. You got to have better than that. That's true of your Deion Sanders, because you have nothing. Until you hear it, he had two in his career.
Yeah.
But Stokes, for example, had none, but he had four his last year. No more than one.
Yeah.
So you wonder about, like, the great cornerbacks. You say, what about the great cornerbacks in college, right? You'd avoid him? The famous Terrell Buckley, his final year in college, 12 interceptions.
Oof. Mercy.
My point is, I'm not aware, but again, you played, so you could say, yeah, we had this one corner they never threw at him.
College, it doesn't seem as often that guys don't get thrown at, right? Like, right. I think in college, they throw at whoever.
Now, I like Goody, so Goody could prove me wrong. He could be good. I'm just saying, I don't think you can find another one. Now, possibly if they were hurt, you know, and you didn't play or whatever, but he played in, I think, 34 games, 3 years.
Okay.
No more than one in two of the seasons. So we had a grand total of two.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I wish I had, like, an explanation
you
for
don't.
It.
You don't.
Like, yeah,
there
like,
is I, none. I don't. I'm thinking, like, I if don't. There would be, like, a lineman, there's something in which you would say, I don't need to know anymore. Like, if he had just one leg. Like, I don't care how good he is. But that's an unfair. I don't know what it would be like. Never started or, all right. I don't know what it would be. And I want to emphasize, I like Goody, so I'm assuming the guy, he might be okay. I'm just telling you.
It broke a rule that you never knew you had.
I never knew I had a rule. Like, yeah. And I can tell you the defensive backs that I've seen play at all the schools I've watched, they were great because they got some interceptions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it makes you think, like, his ball skills, right? Like, how are they? Like, you don't, I mean, I don't know. I didn't watch any South Carolina.
His other games, skills so. Have to be good because I'm not the only one that noticed that.
No.
That's the first thing you'd look at. What? Show me some plays. What's the play they show on almost every quarterback?
A pick six or something like that.
Some interception.
Maybe he was a big PBU guy. How many pass breakups did he have?
I don't know.
My answer
to that is, if you have that many breakups, just – it's like when somebody gets mad that somebody doesn't have a rebound. The guy goes, I'm benching the guy. Why? Just standing there, the ball's going to come near you. If you had all those plays, randomly, you're going to get a couple interceptions if you're that good.
I guess you look at where he felt, like where he went down to. They were expecting him in the 40s to be gone.
Yes. The guy that I look at from that I was using, and the people were really going after, it was just fabulous to have when we did the show on Friday. But he was listed at 52. Or excuse me, they took him at 52. He was at 45.
Yeah.
And during that run of 40s, they literally, from the guy Dane at The Athletic, they literally took player after player right in that order. All his players. Like, the one he had 39 went 41. The one he had 40 went 43. The one he had 41 went 47. The one he went 43 went 42. The one he had 44 went 50. The one he had 45 went 52. 46, 53. It was right in that order.
Yeah.
Looks
like he needs a little raise. So he knows what he's talking about, especially day two.
He's figured out whatever they see.
Yeah.
You know, I don't. Exactly. This is all I look at rather than the mock draft, because I don't. To me, the fascination is how they judge players, and your guys were available. They just passed on them. We were hoping we had Orange, and I had Dunker.
Yeah.
He was available, as was the center.
Yeah, Jones as well. He went to Chicago.
Yep.
Which, Chicago got a good football player. I'll say that. They got a good football player, and they have a Pro Bowler walk out at center, right? He retires, and they go draft this kid. And I'm telling you, he's going to be good.
I can tell you what was said. 10 years starter for the Chicago Bears will be. And I don't even remember what show it is because I listen to so many different shows, where they said people underestimate the importance of the center, that you can look at all these great quarterbacks and they all had a center. And somebody even mentioned Brett Favre. I think Hasselbeck was the one who was talking. He said, Frank Winters. And for Peyton Manning, it was Saturday, who was with the Packers later on, but they all made some mention of these centers that stuck around with their quarterback and were a big part of it. You've talked a little bit about that. And if that was true, then the Packers messed up in addressing that with Jordan Love, right? They had a guy you would have paid to keep, right?
That's the thing. Like, you had Myers, right? You had Myers, and it seemed like they got on well. They had a good seem dynamic and things like that. And when Jordan was a rookie, or not a rookie, but his first year starting, excuse me. It was Myers, and Myers did a really nice job, and that offense clicked, especially in the second half. So I always look at those things, and obviously I got to play with great centers, with Wells and Lindsley, and I knew how well Aaron got on with his centers. Like, right, they had to have a good dynamic and relationship. There's a lot of communication there. A lot of, what do you see? I'm going to confirm that, or I don't confirm that. If I don't confirm what you see, we need to talk about it so that I understand what you're thinking and what you're looking at. And so I can make the right call right away, so we're not up here having a 5-second conversation at the line of scrimmage. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's an important position to have. Obviously, you know, Green Bay made the decision to re-sign Sean Ryan and gave him $11 million a year. It's a lot of money. but they expect him to do the job and be the guy for at a minimum of 2 years. That's what they're expecting. And I think, but going back to the Bears, I think they got a guy that's going to hang around for a long time. It's going to be really good. And in that offense, he's going to be very good. In that zone scheme and how much the center has to climb and get to the second level and do things like that, I think he's going to be phenomenal with it. And he's paired next to Thuney and who's the right guard? Jackson, I think so. I think that's who it is.
Yeah, me.
So I think he's most likely going to win the job right off the jump. I think he's going to beat out Bradberry, who they just brought in, and I think he'll be starter day one. That's the way I look at it. But I think Green Bay addressed what they needed to address with that first pick, right? Like, I really do. I think they went for – they may not say we don't address need, we take the best player available, which is fine. I'm good with that. But, like, you would – then that means you addressed both. You took the best player and at a position of major need. And to me, that was a good pick for them. Right, I think it was a good pick, and I think it was good value based on where everybody was looking at this player to be drafted and things like that. I know that doesn't mean anything. Now you got to go step on the field and do it. But if you look at it from a value standpoint, being able to stay put at 52 and get a guy like that come to you, I think that's really good. Really good job by Goody staying patient with that and letting the board come to him.
How do you... We were talking about the center. They have to do in this and they have to do that. Does that matter? Or you just look at a guy and say, Bulaga, what do you think? Dude can play. All right, take him. I mean,
no, I mean, the center has to do like a.
Right, but isn't a good center be a good center and regardless of the offense?
Regardless of the offense.
Yeah, like, all right, you do this. I don't care. I mean, would you ever say, I don't care what your offense is, this guy can do it and figure it out? Or would there be some that he fit and some that he wouldn't?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's certain guys will fit certain schemes better than others, right? I think if you look at a team that just wants to play power football, power downhill football, like I don't think Jones would have been a fit for that. Like if you're just running duo and gap all the time, I don't think that's really his – you know, strong as soup, but you run zone game, outside zone, inside zone, having him climb to the second level and reach shades and do things like that because he's got really good feet, fits that scheme perfectly. I mean, like, you fit the player with the scheme that you're running at on your football team, and that's how you would pick. Now, some players are that good that they can adjust to anything. But if you could put them in a great situation right from the jump like they are with this kid, then it's going to go really well. Like, it just will. He has all the intangibles to play the center position in the NFL. Then you put him in this scheme with Ben Johnson and what they do and what they do so well, I think he's going to be really good. I mean, some people were saying that they stretched in the second round for that, which if you see a player that's – and I even saw some people saying that there were better centers in the draft. I don't know who that is. To be dead honest with you, I don't know who the better center was than him in the draft. There wasn't one. If he's sitting there and your Pro Bowl center just retired, why would you not take him? And they did. It was a good pick.
Is the center underrated? The importance of the center?
I think it's underrated, yeah. I think it's underrated, but simply because it's a specialized position. You can't move tackles in there to do it. You can't move, like, yeah, sure.
You can try. You can try to move a guard.
You can try.
I heard a team that did that once.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And sometimes it'll work for a couple games. It may work long-term and then it may just fall flat on its face. But because center is a specialized position and guys normally that played in college played in the NFL, they don't move to different positions. It makes their position and what they do kind of a specialist thing. Like, that's what it is. And how much they have to learn and the knowledge that they have to absorb, not just from meetings and when they go on the practice field and remembering looks and making the IDs and getting one on the same page and then communicating with the guy behind them, which isn't the easiest guy to communicate, no matter who the quarterback is. It's not the easiest guy to communicate with because the quarterback's got a million things going through his mind, and then you're trying to confirm things with him on the fly, and it's just it's a very stressful situation. And those guys are specialized players. So the good ones are hard to find. And when you, if you're able to find one in the draft like they did, that has all the accolades, that did it all, that did it at Iowa, right? And I'm not tooting because I went to Iowa tooting their horn.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you, come on. I mean, you think Iowa players are better than they actually are, right?
I mean, I think Iowa offensive linemen are very good, yeah. I normally, okay. Yeah, I think odds are better than not that if you take Iowa offensive linemen, you're going to have a pretty good chance of hitting on the pick.
There's less of a risk, you would say.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And, like, that's why it doesn't shock me at all that Dunker goes to Pittsburgh with Campy and McCarthy in that group. But it doesn't shock me at all. When I saw that pick come through, I'm like, that doesn't surprise me at all. They know exactly what they're getting. They've done that trick before.
Talking with Brian Bulaga, 1-800-990-3776, the Carbless Talk and Text Line. He loves to answer your questions more than he likes to answer mine. And you can have some as far as the draft. I think you could have played center.
No.
Oh, come on.
No. Not a chance.
You didn't maybe want to play center. What about center couldn't you have done? Come on.
I mean, first of all, I already think I'm too tall for that. Like, my the way I'm built is just not built for that.
Yeah,
like,
but your arms are short, so that'd probably help you.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, maybe not. I don't know. Like, I have no idea. I've never done the position. So, like, I'm not going to sit here and say it would be good or bad. But just from the guys that I played with that were so good and seeing what they had to do, it's just like, nah, I'll stay out on the edge. My job may
be – you'll just stay on the edge. All right, let's imagine they would have gone to you like they went to Elgton Jenkins. Hey, we'd like to move you to center. We need
insane.
You to go to center. You would have told them no?
Yeah, I would have said you're crazy.
We know you can do it.
No, I'd be like, no, you don't. I've never done it. So I'd say, no, you don't. You have no idea. You have no idea.
I don't see you as being that combative on it. I feel like you'd give it a shot.
That's a 180, like, complete career change from
right.
tackle
what's
and then go
the,
play center.
All right, in the history of your time in the NFL, what's the biggest complaint you ever registered to anyone about anything? We'll take a break and let you think about it.
Yeah.
The shoes didn't fit or something.
Nah.
I see. If I had been your teammate, I'd said, look it, he'll do it. He'll do whatever. Right. He'll do whatever. He'll figure it out. You don't have to, you can do whatever you want and Bulaga will end up being with it. He'll figure it out. He will not complain about anything, but we'll see if that's accurate next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Fisco Auto Body, located on Forest Home in Franklin. Tell you to go there because they're that good. It's a family business owned since 1931. It's not what they do, it's who they are. And Fisco's still own the business, so still they're still doing the work. Imagine how many years they've been doing it. That's one of the reasons they're so good. Expert workmanship guaranteed for the life of your vehicle. Any damage, Fisco has you covered. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. You go there, you like them, you'll like them, and thank them. And at some point in the future, you'll go, I guess you probably thank Homer. He's the one who told me about it. Fisco, 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 so you'll remember the name. The biggest, I don't want to say argument, whatever Brian Bulaga did in his career as an NFL player said because he didn't like something.
Like, listen, I'll just be honest. I wasn't a overly combative employee. I'll put it that way. Green Bay, even from like a playing, like from a working standpoint, like what we had to do every day and what we encountered every day. I mean, they did things first class. So it wasn't like you'd walk in and be like what's this facility?
You never said anything to Campy. Campy, you just went a little too far.
Now there have been times in meetings after games that he might have went overboard once or twice, and the older guys in the room would stay in just when everyone left and had a conversation.
But you would not. You did not.
I was part of the older guy group, so I would stay in there.
Did you ever say anything?
Listen, the great part about my time there is that I got majority of my time there, I got to play with Sitton and Lang. Sitton and Lang said everything and anything that needed to be said. Like they took care of it. Like they are the ones, like if you had complaints, that's why it's the hierarchy of this thing, right? Like
right. So we don't really know what you might have done had you not been in just a perfect position for you. Like it's all being taken care of. It needs to be taken care of, but I don't have to do it because they're pros. They're naturals.
Yes. I mean, Sitton and Lang took care of everything. I mean, those were the guys that did. I mean, if there were any complaints, if there were any potential disagreements.
Did Campy ever say to one of them, now you've gone too far?
I mean, that room was so colorful. We'll just put it, there was a lot of banter back and forth. But, I mean, it was all with love and respect,
all
obviously.
With love.
Yes, it was
no, because I would assume both sides respected the other side.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah,
100%. So much. I mean, there was so much of that it never was a contentious thing. Unless, listen, there were weeks that we played poorly or the team played poorly, and there was some, you know, there was always exchange of.
All right,
words
we will continue
like
this because I want to ask you about Bakhtiari. I got to believe he was a beaut. Adam in Racine, you're on with Brian Bulaga, 1-800-990-3776, the Card Blues Talk and Text Line. You want to call in and have a question or a comment for Brian Bulaga because he'd rather talk to you than me, which is fine. Yes, Adam, let her fly.
Hi, Brian Bulaga, Iowa. Two questions. One, should the Packers have taken more offensive linemen in the draft? And two, why can't you just train your backup center to be a long snapper?
Oh, that's a good question. Your backup center to be the long snapper.
Like, it's not that hard. That's what Adam's asking.
Yes.
Maybe it is. Well, I don't know.
I'll answer the second question first. Right. Honestly, like, normally the center is the backup long snapper. That's normally the way that works.
I would say you could have done that too, but you also already told me you couldn't be the center.
I did some long snapping in high school, but I wasn't very good at it. Someone else took my spot in that.
What was your? I can't comprehend that. What was your problem?
It was inaccurate, a little inaccurate with the ball.
But you didn't really work at it that hard. You didn't really want to do it that much.
No, I didn't. I'll be dead honest with you. I didn't.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, they don't do it because I think the relationship between the actual long snapper and the field goal kicker is a unique one, and there's not enough time for the backup center to dedicate to being a specialist only. There's so much going on with the offense that he has to learn and take in, and most likely, kind of like what we've seen with this draft, with who we drafted, he's going to have to learn another position as well. So then the backup center is being loaded with the center knowledge and then probably a guard spot as well. So there's a lot of stuff that he has to do.
I mean, a long snapper generally does nothing else, right? They're like long snapper camps. They're paying. I want to know what the top long snapper in college is getting.
That's a good question.
Because they're getting
whatever
paid.
It is.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. I mean, it's good for them. I mean, I could care less if it's 10 grand or 100 grand. It's great money. Good for them. And then to the first question, do I think we should have drafted more alignment? So, like, I'm always going to say yes. I'm always going to say yes because I said this before the draft, and I've said it to Homer before, and I've said it to Yes. There needs to be competition in that room, and to push guys and to make guys look over their shoulder during training camp and to get the best out of guys. And to me, I wish there would have been maybe one more taken, but it is what it is, right? They take the kid from Kentucky that can play guard and center. So obviously he's going to be trained in both of those positions, I would take a guess. And he'll create some, I mean, especially early on, if he does well at the guard position, he'll create some competition for most likely Belton, if I had to take a guess, if he does well. If not, then he'll probably just focus in on mostly center and learn that trade, but obviously be able to play guard and center if called upon. But I just think that room needs an injection of competition. Now, they took a bunch of undrafted free agent linemen, if I'm not mistaken. I think they picked up three of them, maybe four. I'd have to double check. So they did it that way. But honestly, you take the undrafted guys, it's like a 90% chance that they make the team. Like, I'm just being honest, just being dead honest. Lucas Patrick was one of them that won a job that I recall that was an undrafted guy because he played guard really well, and then he was able to snap the ball too. So, like, he covered three positions and won, and he did it at a level that wasn't a drop-off from the guys that were acting up originally on the original roster. So, like, that's a no-brainer for them. But it is what it is. I think Green Bay addressed a lot of needs. I think they addressed a lot of needs in their pick. So I'm not mad about it. I'm always going to say, yes, you could have found a tackle that you liked in the fourth round or whatever it may be, or in the third. Or I know they took McClellan, who I think is going to be a good player, but I always look at the bigger bot, the better you can make that room with bigger bodies that can move, that can play, the more secure you are with your most valuable investment. Right. That's the QB.
Now, I'm the only one, but the draft to me is not just the draft choices you take. It's a collection of those and all the undrafted free agents that you take. That, to me, is the list of people that you should look at. I don't know. When you were playing every year, there was probably somebody that wasn't drafted. I don't know if it happens in the offensive line where you went, damn, that guy should have been drafted.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly guys
maybe it
that,
doesn't happen.
I mean, it's in the O-line room, it's a little bit more. At least in my time in Green Bay, it didn't happen as much.
Right.
A guy would have to stand out and have a really, really good camp to
right.
To
so
break.
He could end up on the practice team and
yeah,
maybe get a shot the next year.
Yeah, he'd have to have a really good camp. And listen, the reps just aren't there for the undrafted guys during camp. Like, you, if you get your reps, you have to be very good at that and show out really well to then get looks in the preseason games to move up with the twos and take reps in the preseason games, right? Like,
now, given the preseason games mean even less now, would you get more of an opportunity now than when you were playing?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably. You'd get more snaps and more reps.
I don't even know if you in your Packer prime would have even played in the preseason. Now,
no, I probably would not have. I mean, Matt's first year, he played us in a couple of them, if I recall. He played us in Baltimore when we all expected not to. And then we show up on game days like, you guys are playing, and we're like, okay, well, here we go. Then we were supposed to play in Canada, but the field was bad, so we didn't play any of the starters. And I think preseason one, we went out there for a series. I think I'd have to double check, but it was now they just don't even look at it as a priority, right? Yeah. Unless you're having a bad week at camp, right? And you're not, and you look, the offense looks bad or this or that, like, and with how much they're doing joint practices, they look at that as the preseason game.
Yeah, they don't want anybody hurt. The Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. If you were the Packers GM, would you have traded 2 7th-round picks to draft a kicker? Your choices are yes or no. I would have added hell no. Come on. But I understand what happened. I'm giving you a tip on this, Brian, because I am 1,000% sure of this.
Ooh.
Goody didn't want anybody else available. He had no interest in drafting anyone else. I got two picks. I don't want to use them. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put them together and get a kicker.
I mean,
that's my theory, and I'm sticking to it, and I'm sure 100% right. Everybody thought he would get more picks. No, he didn't want more picks because the draft sucked. It's the worst draft in 20 years. He would have maybe traded for picks for next year. Everything he did, he traded away a pick to move up a little bit. Why? Because there's so little there, and I would emphasize, doesn't mean there isn't talent there, but I can get equal to what's there in free agency. So let's give a flyer on a kicker. In a normal situation, he would never do it. If the kicker's that good, you don't wait till the seventh round.
No, he's most likely gone.
Yes.
He's most likely gone if he's that good. Listen, I don't mind the pick. I don't mind what he did. I like it.
You know, Mark Tauscher was a seventh round pick. You know, Donald Driver was a seventh round pick. Do I need to go through all the list?
Those are two outliers.
Adam Timmerman, I got to check. I think he was a seventh round pick. A legitimate point. I have said that to others. Fine. You found two. How many seventh round picks have there been? What are the percentage chances of something like that? And my guess is the answer is like 3%. 1-800-990-3776. I'm going to keep asking questions. He'd rather have yours next.
The Homer Hour is back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Questions for Brian Bulaga. Frank in Port Washington. You're on 94.5 ESPN.
Hey, Brian. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, I think. The depth of the draft. Is this showing up as the NIL era that more guys are staying in school? And I realize it might catch up at some point, but we're on the front end of it. So guys less likely to go into the draft because they can make decent money staying in school somewhere.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what you saw with this draft, to be honest with you. I think the front half of the draft, I think there are a lot of good players, obviously. You look at in the first round, you saw a lot of good quality get picked. But they were talking about the 2027 draft during this draft and how loaded it's going to be. Because so many guys are going back to college to make money and stay there and play another year. And I think this is going to be the effect as we go on. I think this is going to be what you see. I mean, there may be years where the first and second round are really strong. And maybe there's some value in the third, but then fourth through seven is just going to be guys that are like, hey, I'm coming out because so many guys are coming back. I'm going to come out. I'm going to be a third round pick. I could be a fourth round pick. I could get on a roster early and start making money where the top guys are going to say, I'm going back. I could get paid more in college. And improve my draft stock. So yeah, I mean, I think we're starting to see that. And I think this draft is a pretty clear indicator of that too.
Kicker pick doesn't bother me at all.
I agree.
What if you've given up 3 7th?
That's not exact. Well,
how much
I
would? Hold on. How much would he have to have given up for you to say it was too much?
Well, we already talked about seven.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, you give up 3 7s for a kid. I mean, that may be a little bit too much. Or if you give up a 6 and a 7, like, you know, that's kind of where I go. I think what he gave up was fine to go get him. Because what if the kid ends up being phenomenal? Then you're going to feel like this was the best deal ever. We should always look to do this.
Really?
Yes. Mason was drafted, wasn't he?
Crosby. Yeah, but Mason was how early?
I don't know. I don't have the statistical knowledge that you do on that. What was he? Fifth round, sixth round?
I think he was sooner than that. Hold on, let's see.
I don't know.
Yeah. Because he was a big shot because he was in Colorado where he was sixth round, 193. Yep.
Okay, and what was this kid?
I don't know, but they didn't have to give up 2 sevenths to get Mason, I don't believe.
Well, times
that's
have changed.
The whole issue. Times have times changed, have, yes.
Times have
I'm
changed.
Willing to accept it if you all say, yes, because the drafts sucked and he didn't really have that interest in drafting any two other people. So he really wasn't giving up anything to move up and give a shot at a kicker.
No, I'm saying I agree that there was 19, probably
19 picks lower.
Yeah, I mean I think that's a fair assessment to say that he probably looked at the back end of that seventh round and probably was like, you know what? The quality isn't there that what I think we can get, so why just move these
right.
And move up and get someone we like?
I don't think in a normal draft he would have done it. I don't think you're going to join my club. Frank, you going to join my club on that?
What's normal now?
The normal people of players available in the draft that he had an interest in.
But like in a normal draft, so are we talking like 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
No, I would think you can pick. I think, for example, next year's draft is going to be, they're saying it's much better. My concern about using NIL is, well, but wait a minute. You have to factor the guys from 2 years ago that stayed in college that were now available for the first time that would have normally gone the year before. I mean, there are additional players because of NIL, right? They're a little bit older, so you got to factor those in.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I'm with you there. You look at the back end of that draft. I was watching some coverage on Saturday, and all the announcers were essentially like checked out.
Yes, and why was that?
Because I just think that the quality of talent just isn't there at the end, and like those sleeper picks that you may love, that you may be going, man, I thought this guy could have been maybe like a fifth rounder, and he fell down to the sixth or seventh, and this team got there just wasn't that.
So you're just going to go after your free agent guys just like you normally do, and they're going to be as good as what's out there, so let's go give it a shot at a kicker. All right, Frank, thanks for the call. John in Milwaukee, you're on with Brian Bulaga.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. There was a video of that kicker nailing him from 60 yards out, so he was probably going to be pretty good. My question for Brian,
let me just let you know, John, I can find you 10 guys who can make him from 60 yards. That doesn't mean you shouldn't take him, but
they took him because the Packers season was impacted by their kicker last year, and you have to correct that. But my
question, do you think he's going to be the kicker? Hold on, we'll get to it, John. Do you think this kid's going to be the kicker this year for the Packers? I do not.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
I think the old man's going to be the
kicker for the Packers.
All right.
Yep, he's
Brian, you're the tiebreaker. Old man or the rookie?
I think if the kid kicks well in camp, he's going to get the job, and it saves Packers cap space.
All right. Take it away, John. Sorry to interrupt.
Brian, if you were a prospect or committed to Wisconsin at this time, and then you see the NFL draft go where no one from Wisconsin was selected the first time since 1978.
Mm-hmm.
What effect does that have on you if you're committed or not committed, but still thinking about it?
That's a good question.
Of where to go.
That's a really good question. And it's definitely thrown up some red flags for me. And I get Homer and I talk about this all the time, that college football's changed and kids are moving in and out and things like that. But Wisconsin is such a like thoroughbred program of pumping talent into the NFL. At least when I was playing, they always had a minimum of three or four guys always getting drafted, whether it was first or second or third, whatever it may be. There were always guys going and getting picked, and at least higher picks too. And now it's not even taking place. And to me as a recruit, I'd be a little nervous about that. Like, is the development there? Like, is that notoriety still there? Are they still able to produce high-level NFL talent? And if I go there, am I going to be lost in the shuffle in this fray? And am I going to have to move and things like that? So, like, yeah, I mean, I'd be concerned as a recruit and as a prospect for sure.
John, thanks for the call. 1-800-990-3776. More questions for Brian Bulaga. Window Nation, spring is the time to open your windows and wait. Your windows won't open. I know you're like, they still leak, they're cracked. You haven't taken care of it. Now you can. During Window Nations, the more you buy, the more you save sale. You could save up to 50% off. Plus, you could get zero interest for 5 years. And they are new. Not doing it. Window Nation's been doing it a long time. Family business. They've been doing it everywhere. And they said, you know what? We're going to help the people in Milwaukee like we've helped others. Learn about Window Nation as a proud partner of the Brewers. Ask how you can score a pair of Brewers tickets during uncertain times. One of the best investments you can make is to do it with your home with a group that's been doing it a long time and so well. The family business has grown and grown and grown, and now it's in this area. Visit windownation.com. Find out about the more you buy, the more you save sale. Book a consultation, and you ask them. More with Brian Bulaga next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The Homer Hour with Brian Bulaga. Anything we neglected to address? Anything we neglected to address?
Oh, I thought you said we neglected to address.
No,
my fault.
I mean, I
neglected to address. I don't think so. I mean, I really liked the pick from Penn State. I really liked that pick. I thought that was really good value.
Because you'd seen him play, or
yeah, I mean, I've watched him play at Penn State when you watched him. Last year, I got to see him play.
Dennis Sutton, that would be his last name, I believe.
Yes, I like him a lot. I think he's got a lot of potential. And, you know, his measurements are, obviously, he's a big body, 6'6", 255, or whatever it is, somewhere in that ballpark. You see him on film, and he's very quick laterally, which I think is phenomenal, which is really good. So, to me, I think he could be one of those guys that you see, I mean, get quite a few snaps during the season this year. I'm excited to see how he performs. So, I thought that was a really good pick for where they got him.
I just think that if I think Bulaga, Goody said you don't win the Super Bowl, get to the Super Bowl from the draft. Just one part of putting the team together. I think that if the team's really good, how many rookies did you have contributed when you guys won the Super Bowl, other than you?
James Starks, Sam Shields.
Yes. Starks was at the very end because everybody was hurt, but he did do a pretty good job. Shields was amazing because, like, he wasn't a draft choice, right? He was a
Free agent.
Yeah, free agent. So
yep. So there were some guys because we were forced with injuries.
Because you had so many injuries that you eventually got to them. So, yeah, they did help out. Milwaukee weight loss from 229 to 205. I got it figured out. Why? Because I eat less and I'm happy eating less. And I look forward to a year saying, yep, I'm still at 205. I believe I will be at 200. I'm a little worried, though, because I feel like I look like an old man now. I feel like I have to get some weight back. I was like, dude, your face is too skinny. I don't care. You won't.
Protein intake. More protein. Just eat more protein.
Yes, they actually said sometimes I cut back on the protein because it's they said exactly that. So any kind of protein, right? Meat.
Well, like, yeah.
I'm big on the shrimp. I love eating the shrimp because now I don't have the sugar calories from the sauce. I found my own sauce with no sugar.
Well, perfect.
Yeah, I could eat those peeled shrimp every day the rest of my life. So, all right. So I got to work on that's not your style.
I mean, I like shrimp. I just had them the other night, but like, I don't know if I could go every day shrimp.
Yeah. You're not that kind of guy. All right, so you save $200 off with the spring special. See, you got it from Bulaga. You might not do it the same way I do it, but it works. You eat less and you're happy eating less. That's what is necessary for any Milwaukee weight loss program. 262-235-3980, 262-235-3980. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com, MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. To me, it's as simple as that. Any weight loss program in which you eat less and you're happy eating less. That's the amazing part. I like salads, too. Never thought that was going to happen. Doc, you know how that happened? I found a dressing with no sugar that I love.
That's beautiful. I just ate one tonight.
I could have a salad every day as well. You're one of those variety food guys, right?
My
wife likes you. She doesn't like it. You're going to have that the same thing? Yes. And I'm having it again tomorrow. And I'm having it after that. All right. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. What do we have? ESPN National? Yeah.
In progress.
As it should be. Brian Bulaga is good enough that he should create ESPN National in progress. Next. Love a woman.